Welcome back to the Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. I'm Dean.
I'm Matthew.
On this week's episode, we bring you Season 8, Episode 6, The King, the Widow, and Rick. All right, man, we are back with The King, the Widow, and Rick. Bro, we sat down. Last time we sat down to cover The Walking Dead, we were in the same room, and now we're not anymore.
Weird.
What a sad state of affairs.
Love long gone, but not lost.
How sad. And when we were in person, we made that announcement about stopping our coverage of the show come mid-season finale. So
that's it.
Hopefully people listening to this episode heard that one, or it's going to come as a real bucket of water.
Real bucket of water in the face. Just surprise. Like, yeah. What?
So hopefully now, before going in this one, but which is hilarious because, you know, we got that recent one-star review. I love talking about the one-star reviews more than the five-star ones because, like, who wants to blow themselves?
True.
It's fucking boring. But the one stars are funny because, like, the guy's like, they don't even like it anymore. Why are you covering it? Hey, hey, joke's on you.
You got your wish, you fuck.
No, don't give him that much power.
No, it's true.
Don't give him that much power. He doesn't deserve it.
He does not have the power.
Especially since they say, the same review is like, I love the science fiction film podcast. So if you, which is funny, I've never seen anyone say they love one show and then they rate another one a one. I've never seen that before. And then I looked on this guy's reviews, and he never reviewed the Science Fiction Film Podcast. It's so funny.
I only review what I
like, hate. What the fuck? All right. Anyway, so what'd you think of this set, man?
I think pretty decent up. Pretty good. Definitely not as strong as the last two. I mean, the last two are actually really good, especially the last one. But yeah, I still think a pretty good episode. I liked getting to finally see more of Carol. I liked seeing Michonne again, but I was like, the thing you're doing is kind of stupid, kind of annoying, but I was happy to see her again. Fucking loved that. Probably the best Rosita moment of all time. I think we can go ahead and put that one on the books for her. That was some good shit. One of my favorite scenes.
RPG kill?
Yeah, dude. Is it ridiculous? Fuck yeah, it's ridiculous. But I loved it.
Hey, super ridiculous. But
super loved
comic
it.
Booky as shit. Fuck.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Like, if you saw that on a comic book page, you'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Oh, man, you'd be folding up, putting it back in your little sleeve with the cardboard back.
Yeah. Man, they should make a TV show out of this one day so I can get bitter about it and shitty after 7 years.
Yeah, I'm so young and innocent. Girls are made out of unicorns. And they, I don't know. I don't know what you think at that age. I don't think I ever thought that. I just sort of made that up on the fly.
What, us? You? No. Come on. We script this. Every bit of the show is scripted.
Yeah.
You jumped the line, but.
Just like that Goonies pod, very scripted.
Completely.
No, listen. Like if you saw that in a frame, a black and white frame, and you had, you know, sexy comic book chick, and she had an RPG, and she just let one go on some guy, you'd have been like, yeah. Right, it's cooler if the guy mattered. Like if Leo mattered to us, I only know his name because of the credits. But if he mattered more, we'd care more. But you think that's her best moment? I mean, that's a bold statement, sir.
As far as her doing something, yeah, because she honestly had done a whole lot. I'm talking about just like sheer action. Like she's been involved in a lot of things, been on them with skirmishes and stuff, but I've never gotten to see her like really just waste somebody or do something cool like that. Like Carol's had so many at this point, I can't even keep up. But yeah, just a nice badass little twinge from Rosita. Totally wasted too. I was like, ha, nice. Probably should use that on the truck though. Probably should have hit that fucking truck before it sped out. But you know.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter.
Karen in the chat says, no, best moment was trying to kill Negan. That's fair. She did up and tried to do it, even though it was stupid. That was also a stupid thing to do.
Yeah, I feel like I'm sexist if I say something like her best moment was banging Abraham in the library. But it's certainly a memorable moment. But no.
The show needs more sex. We talked about that.
No, but in all seriousness, I don't know. I don't know what her best moment is. I haven't. You caught me. I don't. Caught, busted. I don't have my Rosita Rolodex of cool moments in front of me.
You don't have your Excel sheet up.
I left my cool moments from Rosita Rolodex at home. So unfortunately, I can't.
It's really only like a card and a half. So
yeah, I don't remember.
Can't really blame you.
Yeah, it's funny though how they were like, "Oh, let's." It's interesting to observe the evolution of the show, kind of a little bit. Like you know how they introduced her as like midriff, short shorts, pigtails, sort of caricature. And now everyone's like, oh, we better tighten that up a little before we get boycotted. You know, it's funny.
Before this show is fucking completely ridiculous.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, but you know what I mean. As the wind blows, these brave Hollywood organizations. Dude, why don't we dive in? Oh, I guess I should give my opening impressions.
Yeah, let me have them.
So last week was definitely a standout episode for this season. And this week, I kind of felt myself wondering what was going on. Like there seemed to be, I was confused by a lot of decision making. And then I was wondering, what were they doing? What were they getting around? Like, I feel like not a lot happened in this amount of time that they had.
In this episode?
Yeah, like not much occurred. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think it is definitely, it was more of a, just a character moment catching each other up on what even has happened on their respective fronts or whatever, is much less of a, an action episode or moving things along kind of episode. This is one of the, slower of the season for sure.
Yeah. I was like, oh, cool. We've established some stuff. Some things happen. Now it's going to happen. And, I don't know, man. I the hilltop thing has no interest to me.
The prisoner thing?
Nah, it doesn't. I hate Jared.
Oh, yeah.
I know Dylan's probably going to die because they're trying to make him like the nice outlaw guy. And then the Maggie Jesus Gregory dynamic with Aaron and Enid is just not, it's not speaking to me.
Yeah. The Enid part, I forget she exists between every episode.
Well, she doesn't do anything, so it's not like I can blame her for anything. Like, yeah. Enid's fine, like the whatever. She's not really, there's literally a scene where she's in a room with Aaron crying to Maggie and she doesn't say a word, which might make sense, but they're not definitely not doing anything with her. But the standout for me this week, I guess I'm going to say Zeke and Carol. Just from like an acting and character moment, there's some emotional weight between the two of them, right?
Oh yeah.
When she walks in and he's all sitting there like fucking Othello at the end.
Exactly.
Right? He's like, he's about to do himself in.
I liked that scene a lot.
Yeah. I like the pose, like he's sitting there with a chain, ready to drop some Shakespeare. Yeah, exactly. Freedom from my people. But he and Carol, I think, were my favorite parts of this episode. Was there anything you didn't love?
I mean, other than, like I said, like, I mean, the reason that Michonne and Rosita were heading out there, that I was just like, I don't get it. Like, as much as whether you might like it or not, Daryl and Tara heading out for what they were doing at least made sense to me. I'm like, they're the two, especially Daryl, more bent on revenge at this point, and like, fuck them, let's end this fucking war, kill Negan, fuck everybody trying to go about it some longer route or diplomatic route, let's just get in there and smash it. Them heading off to go do that, I'm like, you could call it stupid, you could call it crazy, but I get it. Like, I get why Daryl would do that. It makes sense to me.
Just a dumb question, how come you're presupposing it's crazy or stupid? Is that something you instinctively felt, or are you responding to like what people have said about it?
Oh, I'm just saying, I would totally understand somebody being like, well, that's dumb of them. I'd be like, yeah, kind of. Like, I get where you're coming from. And I don't necessarily think it's dumb, but I get it. I think it's rash no matter what. I mean, me and Tara are just going to ride off over there and somehow finish it all, kill Dwight. Like, it's kind of a weird, ill-defined thing they're doing, but I it makes sense that the two of them would go off after that.
What is the plan then? So that begs the question, what's the plan? Is there a plan? Is Rick executing the plan as it's been laid out? We don't really know. You see what I'm saying? Like, are they supposed to be standing by while he, they must be, right? They must have a plan to, like, what's the deal?
Do we know the plan? Daryl and Tara are supposed to be sitting by, you think?
I don't think anyone's supposed to independently move on the sanctuary without
right.
being part of the war plan, all-out war
Agreed.
Plan.
Yeah. I think so. I think you're right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why, like, we saw the whole disagreement between Daryl and Rick, where Daryl was like, no, you're still, and this is the, you know, the show is being all coy about what Rick's overall plan is and, like, kind of hiding that from us or, you know, keeping it back. And I think it's just implied that Daryl's like, fuck this long-winded plan of yours. We have major explosives now. Let's just roll in there and end it. And so that's where Daryl is. I think he's ready to pretty much break with Rick's plan.
Okay. Yeah, that's dumb, too.
Kind of dumb, like, but dumb. I think that's where he is.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I understood the episode, because it seemed like, I don't know if anybody did, he says, Rick tells Jadis that he's, well, I guess we'll get to that, but I feel like we're not really supposed to know the plan other than we're supposed to know that Daryl's not supposed to ride off with a bunch of people, or a bunch of people aren't supposed to ride off independently and attempt to wage war by themselves.
Right.
I mean, it wouldn't take much for them to get captured or killed, right? If you go into enemy territory.
Not much. Yeah, not much, man.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk about that shit when we get there.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And also, did you catch the whole, you know, this opening scene here where we're getting glimpses of every respective Rick and Co. camp? They've been exchanging these, like notes. Like, they have, like, little note drop points, I guess, where they are updating each other. That's kind of what we're supposed to see. Aaron brings back a note for Maggie, and Rick, I think, mm-hmm. leaves one for them to find or picks one up. I can't remember actually which one he does in that moment. But we're hearing them. All the voiceovers are them reading the notes from the others.
Yeah, yeah, we were, and it's the plan is working. Speech right. By the time it was over, there weren't any saviors left standing. We beat them. That whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Rick says something about the rest of the plan still a go, so obviously there is a plan. I'm heading there now, he says. Sanctuary's on lockdown. They're hemmed in. In 2 days, it'll be over, Rick says.
Right.
And that's when Rick knocks on Jadis's door. But, yeah, I guess they got him hemmed in. They got snipers watching him and shit, so they can't, like, nobody can exit.
Yeah. Got a fucking moat of zombies all around the place and snipers just in case anybody does get through.
Got it.
So there we go.
Not
a bad setup.
Let's go through, here's how we should do this. Let's do Rick. Let's do Maggie. Let's do Kingdom and the Carol, Michonne and Rosita, Tara Darrell, and then the Carl shit. We can kind of run through them all at once instead of back and forth shit.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Do you want to start with Rick?
Yeah, let's start with
Rick. So Rick knocks on Jadis's door and she's doing some like nude Bob Ross, like apocalyptic trash art stuff.
Dude, I'm kind of into her. Still kind of am. Still, yeah.
What do you mean, her appearance?
She's just grimy hot. I don't even know.
She's super hot. That's not the story.
She's so grimy hot.
Yeah, everybody knows. I mean, dude, don't worry. Everybody knows that this woman. There's no nobody's watching this nobody's watching this going, oh, those fucking meaty ham hocks covered in fucking trash are gross. You know what I'm saying? I mean
some people might.
I would
fucking,
you know,
prudes. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I would drown five people for a shot at her. No, but yeah, she's good looking, but outside of that, let's talk about it.
They're fucking bizarre ass little setup. Well, for one, just
sometimes
the
word just bothers men alone. Vagina.
Vagina.
That's she
Vagina Lebowski.
It's like fucking Julianne Moore over here. Right. It's like doing her weird art.
The thing I do
love
like about this
me.
Whole setup.
Me.
Ravage me, Lebowski.
Love me.
Fuck.
Oh, it's sort of a techno pop.
Fuck. No, what I like is how it's so bizarre and it's so, they are so not engaged with this war. What I liked about that was that it kind of implies that, yeah, they took Negan's side and backstabbed Rick and all his people, but they also are not participating in the war. It's not like they were counted on as like backups for Negan's guys and come reinforce our positions with your people. Like, no, like I think they agreed to backstab them and not support Rick, but then they still just get to kind of stay and do their own shit. Like, that's what it looks like to me. That's what I took from it, that they're hanging back doing their own thing. They're not involved in the conflict any further than, okay, we won't take our side with Rick and we'll backstab him, you know, in that moment.
And kill his people.
Right. But, like, I mean, that's it. Like, they, after the whole engagement with, you know, when Shiva came out and fucking, you know, Kingdom rolled in there, I think they just pulled out and were like, well, fuck all that. Back to our garbage heap.
Hmm. What do you think, you know, the wolf in sheep's clothing, Maggie knows about wolves because she was a farmer, apparently. They have wolves in Georgia. But what do you think?
You know, I had that thought, too. Yeah.
What do you think about, I'm sure she's just being, what's the word I'm looking for?
Allegoric?
Sure. I don't know. But in Jared, this Jared prisoner, this fucking, I don't know, Jerry Cantrell reject looking guy. He is, right. he's the prototypical wolf in sheep's clothing, right? He's the scumbag who pushes the limits because he knows they can't kill him. And right. We're seeing that Rick, and the differences between Rick and Daryl, and I guess what I'm trying to get at, are we seeing weakness in our group yet again, or is this going to be perceived as a strength, or is this gracious behavior going to cost them? I mean, the fact that Rick walks back to this lady's place, this lady betrayed him, people died as a result of that betrayal, and now he's just like, no hard feelings. We need your help.
Yeah.
But I don't trust my kid to hang out with this Middle Eastern guy. You know, it's like, he has this weird, like, hypocrisy about him. He doesn't trust Carl. Carl's so worried about, like, how he's going to perceive, how his dad will perceive Sadiq. Yet, he fucking goes, you know what I mean? Like, it's weird.
Goes back to the fucking Benedict Arnold's. Yeah. Well, you know,
war makes for strange bedfellows. I get that. Like, I know that that's a thing. And I know that in desperate times, you have to resort to desperate measures and every other dumb cliche. But I also think that if he's so confident, Rick is so confident. How about this? The coup de grace, the killing blow for Negan, he didn't plan on that coming at the behest of Jadis, right? I mean, he must know that the coup de grace is imminent or at least he seems confident in his letters in the beginning, that the coup de grace is coming for Negan. And now he's going to Jadis. I'm assuming Rick's smart enough to not have rested his plan on getting the assistance from Jadis to finish Negan, correct? Because if that's the case, which then begs the question, why not finish off Negan and then go deal with the fucking Jadis bullshit?
Right, right. There's
I'm just spitballing something. Here. I'm just thinking about this now. So this isn't, I mean, this is, you know, like I said, we don't rehearse what the fuck we're going to say. And I'm thinking out loud to you.
Totally. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think I talked about this at the end of the last episode, that if I'm in Rick's, if I try to get into Rick's head as far as like, okay, I'm going to go back and approach the trash people and try to like rekindle some weird alliance there. I think his strategy, you know, whether you deem it stupid or not, like I think his idea was these people have no loyalties. It's not like they are part of the saviors or have some loyalty to them or looking out for them. They are like purely, you know, I wouldn't call it like, not exactly greed. It's not like they're in it for money, but they're transactional. Like they backstabbed Rick and company only because they got a better deal, you know, given better guns or more guarantees of, you know, maybe extra protection or something. They were guaranteed something from the saviors in a transactional, okay, if you do this for us, we'll give you this. It's not like they like the
saviors
better.
Do we know
that
for certain?
I think it's heavily implied by just the way they interact. Like, what can you give us? You know, they, all of their interactions have been like, you know, super like economical in a
weird
way.
What did they get from that? Did they get the weapons?
You know, that's
because
the thing
none of them are brandishing firearms.
No. I think they have. They're like those Oceanside people. They just keep them in a big fucking closet somewhere full of guns, and they bust them out when they're going to go on some war path, I guess.
Yeah, there's a couple guys with guns, but they're mostly carrying melee weapons.
Yeah,
it's weird. So I don't know what they got, but let's just I'm not going to be a total stickler. Let's just assume you're right that they're purely transactional. Loyalty is irrelevant if you're outside of the group. Loyalty is irrelevant, and the only thing they're interested in is what they can gain. So is that kind of what you're thinking? That's their sole motivation?
I think that's what Rick thinks.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I lean that way. There's a part of me that, and I think this episode kind of says that by the end, that that they are not as transactional as Rick hoped, and more just like, we want to be left to our fucking own. We don't care about anybody's deals. Like, that's, we got what we need now. We don't need to make any more deals with outsiders, so we're just not going to, period. And they don't care. That's kind of more what I'm thinking by the end of the episode. But there's some, as far as like what Rick's plan was with them beyond, like, let's say everything went perfectly and he walks back there and he's like, we want to make you a better deal. And she's like, well, okay. What he wants to happen from there is where I'm like, what are you going to do with them? Like,
all right. So here's what the chat's telling us real quick. I want to interrupt. It says they gave them people, right? Royal Cooperillo is saying, and Karen says 10. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. They wanted people for some reason, for Naked Crafts, maybe. And they're making jokes, but yeah, apparently they gained manpower. Which they then, I guess, integrated into their weirdo society.
Weird. Yeah. Weird.
Maybe to make up for people they lost.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
I think that might be it. Okay. And I'm like, does Rick want them to now fill the gap that the kingdom was? Like, replace those people? Or then also, there's also a weird part of me that I kind of thought, like, man, does Rick want to lure them into an alliance again and get them to, like, approach the kingdom? I mean, not the kingdom, sorry, the sanctuary, as if they're going to help? Like, help the saviors, like, get the saviors into thinking that, oh, the trash people are here to actually help bail us out. And then Rick just double backstabs them all and kills them all in one big blow. I don't know. That would be Napoleonic than I think Rick's capable of.
I like it. Very Machiavellian. Mm-hmm. I like it. I think that's a possibility. Maybe he's trying to employ them to get them to the gates to show that they're here. We're here to lift the siege.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that. I really did. Like, maybe, you know, he can still have the saviors thinking that these are their allies.
I don't think Negan's that dumb, though.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because he already knows she betrayed. What's in it for her? He has to know.
Yeah.
Like, I think at this point, Negan won't be fooled by the trash people, because if we know their motivations, and we presume Rick does, then Negan certainly does. And he probably won't trust them enough to let them get close.
It's fair.
Like, I would guess. I don't know. I mean, he's the other part of this equation. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, he pulls out his fucking death photos.
The saviors are done. We beat them all, except they're still in there, just like in their building. But we totally did.
We totally won, but we need your help again.
And she sees right through that shit. She's like, okay, you beat them. Why the fuck are you here?
Right.
Why do you need us? And he's like, well, we totally beat him.
Right, exactly. Like, so why do you need us? So why is he there?
I don't know, man.
So
I think if it's
this
not
is
the,
my problem. Okay, this is what I was trying to, lure you into this. To just bring you back to why is he here? Because he's here. Like, if we don't know, like I said, does his plan hinge on her? I guess I'm trying to just get to the root of it. If his plan that he so succinctly said in the beginning, in 2 days it'll be over, somebody will finally give me a towel and I won't be dripping, soaking wet like I got out of the shower. And I was like, God damn, woman, there's no you took my towel? You didn't have to run to the bathroom and leave the little footprints right across your fucking floor and rug.
Slap, 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 slap.
You know, slap, and you slip a little on the tile. Whoa, almost went down.
Whoa. Would have died like a grandma.
Crack your head open while being soaking wet while your dick flapping around. But he's always soaking wet. It's weird. But no, I mean, not totally weird, because it's Georgia and he runs everywhere. But wipe your head off. Why are you dripping wet all the time? Just wipe towel off, bro.
Dude, that's me. That's fucking me in the South. That's why I wanted to get out.
Really? You're soaking wet the whole time, like you just got out of the shower?
Dude, I basically look like Rick.
You look like him?
August in South Carolina? Are you fucking kidding me?
Hey, a little bigger than Rick, bro.
What?
A little bigger than Rick.
A little bigger?
Yeah, you're a bigger man than Rick.
I guess so.
He's a small little guy.
Is that why you call me fat and sweaty now? Huh? Is that what this has turned into?
I'm just saying, he's a little guy. He's a little wiry guy.
He is kind of wiry.
You're not a small, wiry man.
It's true.
Yeah, dude. So, I don't know. Am I thinking? This is my problem. I find myself thinking too much about things, and then I can't resolve it, and I wonder what's happening. Which, thank God for the chat and you, because you guys can help set me straight.
We're here for you. Here for you.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out if anyone in the chat can tell me what's happening here. I guess we'll have to know. And then that's like the deliberately not telling us kind of stuff. Like, we don't know. Oh, yeah. What is his plan with these people? You can't rely on the junk people. You can't rely on the junk people, the betrayers. You just can't do it.
The shit betrayers.
It's a bad move.
And I think, and there's a part of me that thinks part of his plan, he knew that this bluff or whatever was not going to work. And he's walking in here to essentially be imprisoned. And that's going to be some part of, you know, some other weird subterfuge or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you think he expected the hot box, the naked hot box?
I don't know if he knew that was coming. He fucking should have assumed something like that, though. If this was, you know, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to get captured.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, maybe, but she responds poorly to the threat. And that was just a bad move by Rick.
Yeah, no, I mean, I loved her response as a character, though. Just like, she's like just smiling at him the whole time. I'm like, no, like, I don't have to give you shit. I don't owe you anything. I'm not at a loss. Like, are you fucking, no, hell no. And fuck off. You talk too much. Mm-hmm. Why'd you even come here? Like, I loved her just flat response to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she behaves as I would expect in this moment. She has a bunch of people, and he's alone, and he starts with he opens with a proposition, but then he's like, or we'll just fucking beat your ass. We'll kill you. How do you expect her to respond?
Yeah,
I mean, this is just bad Rick stuff. This is bad Rick. Naughty Rick this week. I'm mad at Rick.
Yeah, no, this is definitely the dumbest Rick has been in a while. I mean, even if this is part of his master plan in some weird way, I'm like, it's got to be a better way to go about it than being thrown naked in a hot box in the Virginia sun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Hot box, boy.
He can't be sitting in there smelling his own taint sweat like, yeah, this is working out. Yeah, this is great. Everything's going according to plan. This is it.
Fucking brutal.
Brutal, man.
All right. So I don't know what's going on with Rick. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know why he's confident that the sanctuary is going to go down unless that's just leader rah-rah bullshit, right? Don't know. But if he was relying on Jadis, he's a dumb man.
Yeah.
He's a dumb like, man.
I think regardless of whatever his master plan here is, he wasn't relying on her as like a fighting force. Not like, we need your people and you guys' martial skills for us to be carried over the finish line. We have to have you guys backing us up. Like, because come on, fuck them. They're a bunch of garbage heaps. They don't, you know, they're nothing that special. They just had a lot of guns that they needed.
Maybe. Now, here's something I just started to think of when I'm thinking about the beginning of this episode. Is it possible that, you know how they exchange letters in the beginning of the episode? Is it possible that they didn't have real-time communication and they're using I don't understand that either. I don't know if that's for deception or if they don't have radios. Oh, they're a couple hours away. So maybe that's why.
Yeah.
But the rest of the plan's still a go. I'm heading there now. No, that's what he says. So I was thinking maybe Rick didn't realize that the kingdom had fallen, so now he's like a contingency. But it doesn't seem, I think this is always part of the plan. It's hard to say. I guess we'll know more in the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, are we going to get, I hope The Walking Dead doesn't do what The Walking Dead does and dick us a longer than the mid-season. Like, this master plan of Rick's, as far as, you know, has been the driving force of this half of the season and, you know, starting the actual warfare, the outright war against Negan. This master plan needs to conclude at the mid-season. I don't want them to. Rick can't still be in a box like, don't worry, you'll see what happens in March. Like, fuck that. Like, no. Like,
I don't think there's any. If Rick stays in the box the rest of the season, and this is the moment where Maggie shines, I might swallow some poison.
You drink hemlock. You fucking. I shall die like Socrates.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead betrayed me.
It's possible. But enough about Rick. Let's head over to Maggie. We'll do the Maggie Sanctuary.
Let's plow through it.
All right.
Let's get in there. Gregory. I love Gregory still pacing around outside like he means anything anymore.
Yeah.
Well, let me just be a shitty overseer, right, guys? I'm still your guy, right?
Did you look up Poison Ivy 2 with him and Alyssa Milano yet?
Oh, shit. No, I still haven't done that.
You didn't make that a top priority? What's the matter with you?
All right. Get on my anyway, fucking homework.
So Jesus gives apples to his enemies. You're giving away.
It's something weirder than that. It's like radishes or something.
I don't know. Yeah.
Something shitty.
You're giving away our food, Margaret says.
Margaret.
She got a hand on her pistol for a minute, and then the next cut she doesn't. So they're probably like, that looks dumb. Don't do that in the next cut. Like, you're going to fucking threaten Jesus with your sidearm? And that's not Margaret.
No, my child.
That's not Margaret's way.
Margaret's very peaceful. Did you ever see that Al Pacino gangster movie, Margaret's Way?
No.
It's actually not too bad.
Yeah? What's the plot?
A little farm girl, you know, from Georgia comes into the big city and then
she turns tricks,
you know, because that's what happened to farm girls when they come to the city.
She means business, man. It's like a next of kin movie where like they hurt her farmer friends and then she goes into the city with like compound bows and kills mafioso.
Fuck that. Hey, I will buy your script, sir. Thank you. Damn.
You never seen that? Have you never seen Next of Kin?
No.
What? You don't want to see Pat Swayze and Liam Neeson going after mafioso?
Fuck yeah, I do. This exists.
It's so dumb. Yes. It exists.
Oh, it sounds righteous.
Yeah. Or maybe Liam Neeson gets killed in the beginning, and that's why Swayze goes out. I don't remember.
Yeah. Next
of Kin. A Chicago cop sets out to find the killer of his brother. Meanwhile, another of his brothers, a hillbilly, decides to find the killer himself. I guess, yeah, fucking Liam Neeson's in it. Ready for this cast? Patty Boy Swayze, Liam Neeson, Adam fucking Baldwin. Yeah.
Helen Hunt. Bill Paxton, Ben Stiller.
Get on that shit.
Jesus.
Back when they thought this movie was going to be really something.
Is it worth watching? You're making it sound like it's just dog shit.
I loved it as a kid. And the same guy directed Raw Deal in Hamburger Hill.
Oh, I'm there. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm there for this 80s action garbage. Yeah. That's probably delicious.
I think we got an idea here for, I think we got something coming here for Maggie. Should probably give old John Irvin a spec script here. Send it over.
Next of Kin 2. Still related.
Yeah, the Greens. Still related. Still pregnant.
One star. I came here for The Walking Dead. And they talked about Next of Kin.
Yep, they sure did. These hillbilly motherfuckers. What are y'all talking about? It's like hillbillies versus mafia. So I don't know. It's dumb.
I'm there, dude. I'm down.
Okay. Hint: the hillbillies win because they're the good guys in this one.
Yeah, they're the salt of the earth people, Dean.
They don't win in Sopranos, but they win in that movie for sure.
No.
And there's some Nobody song, wins. Brother Nobody wins in to brother and father to son, doo dee ba doo doo. I'm not even joking. I remember the song.
Jesus.
I'm not even joking, dude. I was like, yeah, I get those mafioso.
Anyway. Yeah, stick an arrow through their eye.
So stupid. Oh, so yeah, Maggie is not doing that, though. She is concerned about handing out rations.
Yeah. Giving away our food to these people. And Jesus is all, we had extra crop. We didn't even, we're going to be able to get rid of them all.
Margaret's very stern here. She's very scary. Dude.
Is she?
She's terrible. I'm sorry.
Is she
I can't get into Maggie.
That's funny. You know, okay, so here's the thing. Like, I'm with you as far as like.
They're trying to do more. They're. You know, I mean,
it's, the moments of her like
stick to your weight trying class. To be
of her trying to be the intimidating kind of like brute force Dude. Leader at times. That's the shit where I'm like, you're not pulling it off. Like, come on. But the moments when she is a little more like diplomatic or you know, when she makes actual decisions, she's delegating, acting more like a leader instead of just being like, I'm going to put my hands on my hips and be intimidating. Like those moments yes. I actually like. And I think she is good overall in this episode. But yeah, no, I know what you mean. Like those moments she tries to have like, I don't know, intense glares. Like, I'm going to stare you down. I'm like, it's not working. Sorry.
Mm. Yeah. Gregory mouths off and gets sent to his room by a 15-year-old, right? Or something.
Dude, he's such a bitch.
We have to make sure what's left is worth what we lost, Jesus says. So, and then we got a little Gregory and Maggie chit-chat. So Jesus is still saying, you know, what will we have left after this if we don't, right? That kind of shit.
I have to break these loaves and these fish and disperse them amongst my prisoners, mm-hmm. my POWs.
Yes. But we're starving. Yes, but POWs. I don't know. I'm only well, anyway, so Gregory and Maggie talk. And he's talking about how leadership isn't easy. People always point fingers at people in the hot seat. And he's trying to buddy up with her. He's a suck up.
Right.
What he does.
He's a disgusting suck up. Although I do like him busting her in this way a little bit of being like, you're going to have to make hard choices. And which it's totally hilarious coming from him because he's the most spineless little coward shit of a leader. But I do like him pointing out to her that like, hey, yeah, you're not going to please everybody with these choices. You want to step up and be the fucking leader now? You're going to upset some people while you satisfy others. Like, you're going to handle that. I actually liked her having to fucking kind of deal with that thought for the first time.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, that's one thing I think that is interesting about their dynamic is that she came into the Hilltop when they showed up and they first, you know, Rick and all of them first met the people at Hilltop, knew of this place's existence. They already didn't like Gregory. Like, he was not a popular leader, but he was the leader they had. And so pretty much from that day forward, it's been a slow but steady progression of, actually, Maggie's pretty smart. Oh, actually, Maggie's pretty competent. Fuck Gregory. Maggie's our leader. And like, she's just been on this like popularity wave. And now I kind of like him pointing out that like, yeah, I might be a scumbag piece of shit and you think you're a lot better than me, but you are now going to have to make decisions that will alienate some people while you win some other, win over others, but you're not going to always be fucking the, you know, the brand new popular girl riding in on this new wave. Like, you're going to have to get in the thick of it and some people aren't going to like you just like they don't like me. And it's like she hadn't realized that until this dialogue. It's like, I kind of liked her dealing with that.
Yeah, sure. I like that too. I think it's important that you can get lessons even from shitheads.
Right.
You just have to be wise enough to know what the shithead is saying and whether or not it's useful or not useful. Mm-hmm. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But at this point in the episode with him, I thought to myself, why is this guy freely walking around?
Dude, 100%.
It was like, super aggravating.
Why is he just meandering around like fucking grandpa who still thinks he's in charge?
It's crazy.
Yeah. I still run the show, sort of.
He says something like, you need someone to tell you it's okay to follow your gut. Like, he's going to be her assistant now.
So ready to be her secretary.
Mm-hmm. So he can what sell her need? Out at the moment's notice.
I just want to grovel and backstab. It's the only things I know how to do.
Not that he wants to sell people out to sell them out. I don't think he's a sociopath. I just think he's an utter coward.
Oh, yeah. Total self-serving coward. Like, he will throw you under the bus to save himself. Now, he's not a sadistic psychopath trying to find people to throw under a bus. He's just that if anything, any hard decision or danger comes up, whatever I have to do to save myself.
Yeah, he like,
I'll throw this child into a fire. I don't care.
I think a lot of people would throw people in a bus to save themselves. I just think that this guy displays no ability to confront discomfort whatsoever, right? He can't do it. It's not
great wartime leader, yeah.
Not in his ambit. Anyway, as Gregory's selling his services to Maggie, I wrote, she looks beguiled and dumb as usual.
Beguiled and dumb.
Doesn't she look like, I don't know, man. But the good news is she throws him in the pen. So
at the end of the day.
But I mean, I feel like she's, I don't know. I'm not sure. I can't get into it. I'm struggling with Maggie.
That's funny. I mean, I get it. I still, like I've said a million, I feel like I've said it a lot. Like, the long arc of where they're going with her, I still think is interesting. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the idea of this character having to step up and become the leader of a whole separate community,
dude,
and really start to get into that. I think it's interesting.
It is, but I feel like we've been saying it forever and that there hasn't been any progression on her as a character.
Right. Well, you know,
like,
one thing that
I don't feel like Maggie is any different than Maggie was a season and a half ago.
Right. Well, one weird thing, and it kind of really didn't dawn on me until the other day as I was thinking about the show. This, I guess it would be the past season and now this season, even a little bit before that. But like just about every season, especially between seasons, up until, you know, season 7, I guess it was, had a lot of time pass between seasons, even if, you know, it might only be 5 or 6 months, but that much time passes between a season. And then in the season itself, sometimes they had like I remember in season 6, remember the big zombie horde that actually flooded into Alexandria, and they, you know, that's when Carl got shot in the eye and all that shit. After that episode, and once it went to the next one, there was a 6 or 7 month gap between them, I think. It might have been a little less than that, but it was a serious time jump, and things went on. But season 7, when they are on the way, well, actually, I guess it really started when they attacked Negan's first outpost. From that moment till now, till this episode, I think it's only been like 4 months. It has not been long. Like, it's the most rapid that this show has stayed in one place. Like, it hasn't jumped forward in time much at all. Like, I don't think we have moved much more than 3 or 4 months from Rick's initial attack of the outpost till the Saviors discovering who it was, pinning them up, killing them, putting them under their thumb, and then Rick bucking it. It has not been that much time. And I think it's easy to forget because we have so much actual time between the seasons. But of all of the seasons of the actual show,
that's definitely deceiving.
It's deceiving because it's like, well, it's actually shit. It's not that much time that's passed.
She's pregnant, right? Right before
Glenn right. And that's exactly. And she hasn't really started to show much at all still.
At 0%.
Like nothing.
But yeah, okay. All right. I stand corrected then. Like, it didn't occur to me. It's only been a couple of months. I guess that's makes sense. Which brings me back to, it feels like an eternity.
Right. You know. Which is a good sign in a show when you're watching it feels like an eternity, right?
Not really.
Hey, Dean, can you lean over my eggs? They need some salt. They're so tasteless.
Let me try. What are you making fun of my dry scalp, bro?
You produce scalp, Dean. You're a human miracle. I mean, you produce salt. Scalp salt. Fuck, wow. I don't know.
Cool. I'm going to scalp you next time I see you, white man. We cut back to them at night. Dylan talks to Jesus. That guy's name is Dylan, the little cute guy. I think he's from Brooklyn, by the way. He's like,
hey, stop being so bad, Jared. I want to get in good with these folks.
I'm from fucking Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? I don't need you to do this, that, yeah. There ain't no such thing as no angels.
I don't know. You Hicks is pretty silly, I think.
I rooted for the Guineas and next to kin.
we was on different kinds of lives.
The next morning we get the happiest prison music ever. Like, it's a victory for a hilltop, but like, it's funny because they're going to prison and it's like this kind of bright track. I laughed out loud.
It's true.
It made me funny. True. It's like a makeshift chicken coop, right?
Well, because the show also, you know, They both say it and they don't say it, as far as like, ooh, will they or won't they? Are they going to keep them? Are they going to get rid of them? But what that's really saying is, well, are you going to keep all these people prisoner, or are you going to let them go? Or are you going to fucking kneel them all down in front of that wall out there and walk down the line blowing people's fucking brains out? Like, that's what we're talking about. Like, that is some dark ass shit. And so, like, I love how, yeah, like, there's this big, like, bright, cheery, redemptive track of they actually built a cage for them. they built a pen instead of a fucking gallows, where instead of just executing all of these people.
It would have been funny if they rounded that corner and it was a gallows.
You just see Jesus' face drop, like, oh, wait, what?
He's just
and they just shoot Jesus, and then they're like, all right, line up. We want to get through all these beheadings real smooth and easy, guys. It's a lot to go through today.
Maggie's wearing a fucking executioner's hood. Fuck.
Just like shirtless with just the hood and a big axe. She's got Jerry's axe.
Starts killing people with a curvy sword.
Welcome to this country.
All right. That doesn't happen though. They built a nice chicken coop.
That's what I thought. It's too. Super. Here's nice. A chicken wire for you fucking animals. Get in there.
Get in there. You go in there with a bucket and you start tossing some feet on the ground.
Here's some hay to shit in, you dumb animals.
Jared, I need eggs out of you, buddy. Because if not, I'm making
Jared,
chicken
I wanna
soup.
See you squatting. I want to see you squatting over that hay. Don't you get up. You produce me one stinky man egg. I demand it.
Yeah, well, we know Gregory can produce eggs. Wah, 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 waka, waka. I'll be here all night. He's a chicken. Yeah, I don't know.
That joke gave me herpes.
Did it? Again?
It did.
I thought you already had that.
I thought I was immune.
Anyway, Gregory says, we can't let people we don't trust run inside our walls. And Maggie's like, you know what? You're right. Get on in there.
Get on in there.
I know something about them Georgia wolves.
Dude, I had the same thought. I was like, coyotes and foxes, sure.
Coyotes.
Wolves. I mean, hey, even fucking the very rare jaguar, fucking, you know, mountain lion and shit kind of stuff. Yeah, it's out there. Wolves. Packs of wolves, not so much in Virginia or Georgia area.
Mm. Well, whatever. Yeah,
way up in the mountains, maybe.
She was being metaphorical.
Metaphorical. Mm. Should not bust balls so hard.
Mm, yes, lay off Maggie's balls. She's going to need them to put on her executioner's hood.
That is it, dude.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, how did you like fucking banging his old fucking noggin against the fence post before getting him in there, too? He was struggling a little too much. Get rough with him. Get rough with Grandpa.
I liked it.
I was for it. Yeah. I did not mind it one bit.
Don't mind.
And quite a nice, healthy hit from the butt of her rifle on Jared's dumb head, too. That was good.
He shouldn't be alive. He should be made an example of immediately.
Oh, man.
Drag him out and shoot him with a rifle.
Anybody else? Anybody?
It's, okay. No one's gonna like lose sleep over that.
No,
he's a
not
scumbag.
Even the other saviors. Exactly. They're all like, "Fuck this guy."
Exactly, he's a scumbag, dude. Get rid of him.
Yeah, piece of shit.
Yeah, he's got to go up against the wall with that one.
With that one, if you're gonna make an example, he's the one. This guy.
Yeah, he's gonna get out and kill somebody, like, you know, that old hat. And then Maggie goes on a killing spree with a hammer. I don't know. She just doves every one of the saviors. You know, that's going to happen. Jared's going to get out and the gun's going to go off and Eden's going to die because, you know, she doesn't do anything. And then Maggie's going to be like, on your knees. Pow, 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 all of you. Just fucking lining them up. Just lining them up like some ice is shit. Back of the head. Pow, pow, Jesus. Pow.
Yep, that's what. If this show really want to go there, hey, welcome to prime time television, everybody. Kneel these fucks down.
I'd certainly. Oh, they're so above it.
I know.
With fucking fisheye soup. A fucking fisheye soup. Now,
Jesus.
Maggie,
this is entertainment.
Yep. Tell my son I love him. Jesus Christ. All right.
Fucking show. Is this what I eat popcorn to?
Yeah. Shit. And then when she does it, Negan can be all like, ha 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 ha.
Ha ha. Well, I'm harder for you than ever. Fucking.
I'm going to lean way back here so I don't jizz my own face.
I'm the limbo champion. Wow.
How low can you go? So, how low can you go? He's way back. So let's talk about Dylan. He's kind of like body checks Jared, who had a rock. He drops it. He's like, don't get me killed, right?
Yeah, don't fuck this up.
Jared's like, don't worry. He fancies himself wolf among sheep. He's like, these people ain't gonna kill us. They're pusses.
I mean,
he's not wrong.
As much of a piece of shit he is. Yeah, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Like I do like that. Even though he's an asshole, he's a scumbag. He's been able to sniff out these people of like, they're not going to line us up and kill us. Like, what are you? Come on, these aren't those people.
Mm-hmm.
They like, if you're in Negan's camp, you know shit is going to go hectic. Like, it could be real bad. Some of you are probably going to get dragged out and executed. This camp, it's been a big debate that they've been doing right in front of them too, which we have not talked about.
We've talked about that.
Maggie and Jesus and Gregory all standing 2 feet away from all the prisoners. Well, what should we do with them? I'm just real nervous about what to do with them.
Oh, we talked about
probably shouldn't be having this conversation.
We talked
about
it before when they were walking them around. But it's goofy. But so meanwhile, Aaron laments about his boyfriend whose name I already forgot. I feel bad.
Jesus.
What's his name?
Eric. It's Eric.
Eric and Aaron. Why do they do that?
I don't know. That was silly.
All right.
Eric and Aaron. Couldn't have named him Joe. Aaron and Joe.
Sweet, sweet redheaded boy. His sweet little Ron Howard fucking fantasy.
My little limp-wristed boy. We shouldn't have given him a gun.
That sweet, sweet little Ron Howard right out of Happy Days. Weird thing he's into.
Holding
a baby?
Yeah, this is... We saw that right at the beginning of the episode. This Aaron was the one who took the baby that Rick found, a little Gracie girl, which I guess
so
was...
So has she flushed the real baby down the toilet or something?
Dude, I guess. I'm still wondering. I'm like, are we really going to see a full-blown Maggie pregnancy and she's going to give birth and there's going to be another baby on this show? Really? Mm. Is that really going to happen? There's a part of me that's like, I don't believe it. I don't know.
Yeah,
This is holdover baby. This is, you know, just... Yeah. Keep the tide until then, I guess. But, you know, that all said about you know, the easily forgotten boyfriend of Aaron, I do like what he actually says here. Like, that's something we don't – there's not too often – I mean, we see lots of characters grieve in this show. I mean, like the whole fucking thing with Sasha laying on bodies because I had to stab my boyfriend's melon. There's all that stuff. But, like, this is a pretty realistic description of grief that I actually liked. What I didn't like in this scene was Enid being there. I was like, this is a conversation for Aaron and Maggie. That Maggie's watched her, you know, husband be killed right in front of him. You know, Aaron had to hold his boyfriend while he died right there. It's like, these are two adults dealing with some serious adult pain. Enid, you go get your coloring books or whatever the fuck. Yeah, she lost her parents.
Big deal. Lost your parents at 16. Don't be such a puss.
Walk it off. Take a lap.
So, no,
but I mean, just like, I don't know. It just,
do you
it
know why
me
she's
one
in the
things.
Scene, don't you?
Is there insisting she's important?
Nope. Well, yes, because they're going to do something with her, but because of the next follow up scene, which is goofy, which is Aaron taking off and just taking Enid with him. Nobody talks to Maggie. Go get your stuff.
Everybody just scattering.
Yeah, nobody cares. Everybody does whatever the fuck they want in these groups. Yet somehow they're still winning. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Everybody just takes off. Like, he's like, I'm going to go win. Aaron's going to go win. Because, you know, your ambushes worked out real well. Your shitty ambushes didn't work out. Now you're going to go, go get your stuff, Enid. Like, we're going to go. Probably talk to Maggie. I don't know. Like, talk to Maggie, talk to Rick. No, Daryl, you're going to do your thing. Everybody's just fucking running around willy-nilly.
Just fucking running around. Jesus.
How far are they into the apocalypse?
So far.
Why are they behaving this way?
4 or 5 years now.
Ugh. Stop behaving this way.
I do think, to Aaron's credit, more so than like Daryl or what Maggie and Rosita are doing, I think he is trying to go out and connect with people who are already out there, like Rick or whoever, maybe not necessarily Rick, but he's like going to go help reinforce something that they need. Like, I don't see him just like, well, I'm going to do my own personal vengeance quest and run up to the sanctuary.
No, I'm teasing. I think Maggie is aware.
Oh, you think so?
That
I'm
he's
not
leaving?
Sure she was.
You don't I think guess. So?
We don't see a scene of them talking about it, but maybe they had a private
What do you do then if you're the leader? You come out and they're like, oh, Aaron left. Oh.
Yeah, Aaron and Enid. Just
weird, we
left.
Just had this heart to heart. He just left? He didn't even say anything? Fuck? Like, sure, he doesn't have the answer to me, but he didn't say, and where's Enid? Oh, Enid went? Really? Man, I'm going to put my hands on my hips. I'm going to be very cross at her.
I'm going to be very cross. Somebody give me a prisoner to kill.
I'm going to be very mad at her. I'm going to threaten her and then not follow through with any of my punishments.
That's it.
And Jared's going to mock me. But, anyway, so yeah, they take off. He authorizes it. It's cool. Aaron's got, he's got seniority, I guess.
Bring some food. Gonna be gone for a while.
Mm.
Going on a find myself quest.
Yeah, I guess.
We're just going on a side adventure. I'm gonna go to the ocean and look out on it wistfully. Think about loss.
Think back to my happy days, boyfriend.
Oh, happy days. just fucking weeping.
Sunday, Monday. That's fucked up. It's fucked up.
I tried hitting his corpse like the Fonz to see if he'd wake up.
Nope. Yeah, he lifted up the hood, then just was like, "Hey," and he fucking wakes up. I'm not dead, Aaron. Aaron, I'm totally not dead. You just assumed I was that guy wandering away in the field.
You just left. I was walking around in a blood-lost daze.
My fever
wounds. I lost a lot of blood. I wasn't thinking right. You just left. Fucking asshole. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Well,
poor Aaron.
Poor Aaron. I feel so bad for him.
You fuck. You fuck.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to Kingdom and Carol.
The Kingdom and Carol.
What do you want to end with that?
You know what? Yeah, fuck it. Let's end on that. That's a stronger storyline. So let's see.
So Michonne
that.
And Rosita.
Michonne and Rosita. That's it.
Rosita.
Old Rosita.
Love Rosita.
Yeah. They.
Rick said, stay put, Rosita says.
Stay put. Hey, don't fucking scatter so we can't find you guys and we have to come on another rescue mission for your ass. Hey, could you not?
Holy crap, there's reinforcements coming. Where is everybody? Crickets. We underestimated their reserve forces. Where is everybody? Oh. Rally the troops. Crickets. Hey, everybody, get your guns together. We're getting overwhelmed by Negan's reinforcements. Over.
That he had.
Static.
He had set aside in case something went wrong. Jesus. But yeah. So this is...
It's only 12 guys, but that's fine because we got at least 6 of you, right? Crickets.
Crickets. Nothing.
Nope, they're all off, running around, randomly running into massive arms storage places.
I'm feeling things, so I had to go on a personal side quest.
Oh, God.
I gotta go feel them somewhere. I can't stay in one place and feel my feelings.
Rosita tries to convince her to stay. She won't, so Rosita goes with her. Couple of dummies.
Couple of dum-dums.
Show needs something
what
for them
me
to
off.
Do, I wrote.
Yeah, and that's, like, I would have accepted this stupid, not accepted, but just, like, roll my eyes and be like, yep, that's Rosita for you, being all fucking, I'm going to go do this thing myself. Okay. Like, you've proven you're that dumb in the past, so I'm like, whatever.
What sucks? Here's what sucks about it. It's a disappointing piece of writing to me because it only exists to fill time.
Right. Well, and I guess, I'm disappointed in that the character of Michonne would do this. I'm like, she wouldn't do this.
Right.
Come on. This is stupid. She's not stupid.
She's
Rosita's kind of stupid. Like, Michonne's not.
Rosita's more like headstrong, though. She's like, I'm going to fucking do the thing I want to do no matter what. Like, right. That's how Rosita is.
Mm. And, but like, just the way Michonne talked about it.
Maybe. I don't see either one of them running off on this half-cocked thing, though, because Rosita already tried this, and it cost her Sasha. Right.
There you go.
Yet she goes with Michonne. Like, you haven't learned? Like, Sasha's dead because you guys went running off together. We're going to do it again. When Rick's not there... Man, they do not respect your leadership, bro. When you're not there, they just take off.
They just take off.
What the fuck?
Boy. Mm. You know that flash forward where Rick's like, you know, looks like fucking Grandpa Rick with his big white beard? You know, he's going to come out in the street and he's going to tap his cane and everybody's going to kneel down and be like, I am Rick. He's like, yeah, that's right. Finally got this shit together.
Yeah. He walks by clunking him on the head with his like, crooked stick. I don't know. But... So,
dies on his bed they talk and drops about, a snow globe.
Oh yeah, they talk about why they needed to go out there, you know, 2 hours away, right? Isn't the sanctuary 2 hours away?
I don't remember, honestly.
Okay, maybe somebody in the chat can check up the logistics on that. I'm almost certain the sanctuary is a 2 hours, that's 2 hour drive from Alexandria to the sanctuary. And if that's the case, this is extra stupid.
Real stupid.
Extra stupid. Because the show doesn't, you kind of get lost in how far away places are, but I think that's the case. And if it is, extra dumb.
A little extra sauce on that dumb.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. They talk about why they need to go out there to satisfy your guilt, basically. We're following Michonne's head sirens, apparently.
Right. Like that she just feels guilty that she wasn't there for Rick. You know,
my head sirens are going off. That's good.
My head siren. My Spidey senses.
My head hubby senses. Movies showed me that my boyfriend Rick was in trouble.
M-O-O-N, Rick.
In my head movies.
All right, see, they're making her stupid, and she's not stupid. Bullshit.
Oh, shit.
M-O-O-N, Negan. Gotta get him.
Old Bootsy Rosenweig says, it is 2 hours. That's what Eugene said when they were taking Sasha in the casket.
Okay.
2 hours.
Well, now we know. 2 hours. Established.
That's not like, hey, I'm going to swing by and see how the house is coming along. It's like, I mean, 2 hours is a commitment of driving.
And I'm most pissed off about what they flat out say why they're going. It's, I need to look. I need to look. I want to see it. I want to look. I'm like, you want to look? Talk to the people who are there. Like, what? There are plenty of people now back at Alexandria who are fucking there.
It's
who saw it. Hey, why do you have to go look?
That's the anger I'm looking for.
That's what I'm pissed off about this scene. I'm like, that's stupid. And Michonne's not stupid. God damn it!
That annoys me. Okay, why?
You know, all they had to do. To fix this, to make them leave exactly how they left, but make it reasonable, would be Michonne going, well, this is part of Rick's plan. I'm supposed to go out and check up on him. I have to go get a vantage on him when he goes to the trash people. I got to go make sure things are going well there. Something. A fucking reason to leave.
Too much
better
white.
Better than, well, I wanted to look through my viewfinder.
Too much white treachery, man. She got to put her own eyes on it. Cannot be trusted.
That's it. Fucking Rick. Yeah.
Bootsy
in the chat again. Rick should have just brought her back a Polaroid. Here you go. That's what it looks like. All them zombies out there.
Well, here's your dead body. Is that good enough?
There you go. I'm pretty much basically Negan now. I just take pictures of the people I fucking killed.
Yeah. What the fuck? Who's that? There's an artist that does that. He takes pictures of dead people. It's really creepy.
Fuck.
I forget his name.
Cool guy. Begins
with an A or something. No, like people who have been like tended to by funeral homes and they're in like weird rats. It's really, it creeped me out. I looked at him and I was like, I don't like this.
Fair.
Anyway, so.
Yeah. Oh, and Karen brought up something I do want to say, like before we go too far by it. I totally get Michonne feeling the way she feels. Karen, you know, was saying that she remembers she was beaten up super bad at the end of last season's finale. Mm-hmm. Like she, you know, had to fight that sniper chick, fell off the roof, mm-hmm. And was beaten to shit pretty hard. And yeah. So like she, I can totally understand her feeling guilt of like, I wasn't able to help. I wasn't able to participate, but I just don't buy the leap
not
that
enough,
she would
not enough to drive
go
2 hours.
Fucking do just to go look.
Nope.
Just to look. It'd be one thing if she knew the battle was still raging and she's like, fuck it. I can't sit here doing nothing anymore. I want to go help. That's one thing. But for people to be coming back all fucking winded, like, whoo, well, that's done. Damn, we really brought it to him. She's like, well, I want to go see.
It's a bummer. Like, this is, unfortunately, this is the kind of stuff that just has been chipping away at my resolve for too long.
Yeah.
I feel bad, but hey, you know, we're not covering it anymore, so whatever. fuck it. That way people don't have to endure another half season of me sounding like I sound right now.
Mercy kill yourself.
No, mercy kill the show. Like, this is the kind of, this is just nonsense. Like, this is 14-year-old Carl I'm going to fucking stow away. Like, that makes sense.
Eat my tub of chocolate pudding.
Like, Carl stowing away, getting big ideas, I could see. But Michonne, I don't know. I'm not buying a 2-hour drive to see the win.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Anyway. Rosita's like, okay. So they hear this loud music. They stop the car and leave it in the middle of the street. Now, I understand that chicks don't drive so good. But, you like that old hacky joke, kid? Asian people suck at driving.
Meaning in the 50s with a cigar.
White people are evil. That's another good one. Hacky joke time.
James.
Damn. Gay people dress better. I'm full of all these dumb jokes. No, I don't care. I'm not talking about the driving, but don't. Why are they leaving the car in the middle of the road?
Fucking leave your car.
And I thought, okay, surely they pulled it off to the side, and we're just not going to see them pull it off to the side. And now I'm convinced The Walking Dead's trolling us because they show a far shot of them exiting the vehicle in the middle of the street, just to troll me.
Just to piss you off.
Just to troll me. I'm like, fine. That I see them stopping and not like visibly pulling the, not like she's not turning the wheel and like putting it down into the grass on the tree line. So I'm like, okay, then they probably just did that. That would make sense. No.
But nope.
No. The it's like they're going, fuck you, cancel your show now. Here's a far shot of the car in the middle of the street, you piece of shit. Never say a word about our fucking multi-gazillion billion-dollar show, that money you'll never fucking sniff with your shitty Walking Dead attitude, you fuckwit. That's what they're saying.
Damn, took that pretty part. You took that one shot of their car in the street?
Yeah.
Pretty personal, dude.
Look, I'm a little neurotic, okay? Just tell me you love me, Matt. If you don't come, that means you don't love me. My God, if you don't come to my show, it means you don't love me.
Jesus.
Oh, my problem is.
Don't pull out. Don't.
What? Wow. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Jesus. This is a bad relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You were right to cut the cord, dude.
I did. But so they don't pull off. Whatever. Fine. They exit the vehicle, proceed on foot towards the sound. They see a school, or was it a library? What was it? It was a cool building.
Yeah. It looked like a big, you know, big fortifiable place. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what it is. But they hear the music in the school. I wrote school, but they hear the music in the building and they walk towards it.
That's it.
Across the field in the open.
That's
whatever.
It.
I don't care. It's Walking Dead. It's a fun romp through the post-apocalyptic zombie-infested world. Yeah. thank you.
They get there. They
it's
get
fun.
In there.
It's fun. It's a fun show about zombie killing, okay? Stop trying to make something it isn't, Dean.
Oh, Christ.
You ready?
I'm ready.
You talk. Take me through this.
All right. Take it in.
Listen, I'm tapping out. You come in. You know when the tag team, and it's like, ah, oh, they're beating on me. I just barely tagged you in. I got a bloody head.
You get fucking blood running down from your eyebrow. You
fucking
nicked it with a razor
Bobby
blade.
Bobby Heenan hit me with a foreign object. I'm bleeding out of my head. I barely tagged you in.
Get in there.
Get in there.
Well, yeah. Basically, they make their way through. They're following this music. And I guess it's these saviors testing out their speakers, because as they come in, they hear the two of them talking. Leo and didn't catch her name. Talking about, oh, there must have been a battle back there. The whole sanctuary's swamped in walkers. That couldn't have just happened. Mm-hmm. You know, it's probably the Rick and those people. And basically, they get up close enough to where they can see what they are setting up. And it's this truck covered in gigantic speakers and amplifiers. And they talk about, oh, this will be the thing that it'll turn the tide back. We can fix the damage just, you know, as quick as this. And that's
right,
because
they can
shown,
just drive by and drag that herd off of the sanctuary.
Just real easy. Just drag them off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They use this technique against the hilltop. Remember?
They did.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
They rode in that.
So here's what I do want to say. Allow me to take a step back. You came in, you tagged me in, and now I'm thinking clearer. Mm-hmm. So here's something I love about this. I like that we're seeing the saviors attempt to respond to what's happening.
Yeah.
I like that.
I agree.
Like, it's cool to see the saviors are trying to respond to being attacked, and they have a tactic that is very viable and that would likely work.
Yeah.
Cool. And then we see it getting intercepted. Unfortunately, it's getting intercepted in a really random and unplanned way, which is too bad. It would be cool if this was part of the operation for Rick's team.
Right.
But it's like sort of just they stumble upon it, because that's how the show has always worked. Right? But I do like that we're seeing Negan's group trying to come up with a recovery option.
Right. Yeah. That they have something in their back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So continue.
That is cool. Well, again, another just like random goof 'em up, fuck up. Michonne bumps a tennis ball and it rolls out into where, you know, these two saviors are, and they realize that they're being watched, that people are gotten in there, and they spot them behind all these shelves and these racks and open up on them, start firing.
Zia. That's her name.
And that's that, yeah, Zia. So that's when she's Leo. I think she tells Leo, you take the truck, get it on out of here, get back to the sanctuary, I'll handle them. And I think she only thinks at this point that there's one. I think they've only seen Michonne, and Rosita's kind of making her way around. But that's when, you know, Leo is trying to get to the truck. And so Zia is just engaging, you know, Michonne at this point and trying to get the drop on her. And this, and she's fucking doing the goddamn savior whistle, which I can't stand at this point. I hate that whistle and shit. I'm like, oh, she's got to die.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do like what Rosita does, though, when she's actually tossing stuff around. Because, you know, the one tactical advantage they have in this whole situation is that they don't really know where you are. They know you're in there, but they don't know where you are. And she's the one throwing stuff around, making noise, clattering it around different directions.
She reaches into that fucking crate and pulls out a glue gun or something. She's like, fuck.
But tosses it so that they don't know where they're moving around. And I was like, that's cool. I like a little bit of that Sam Fisher Splinter Cell. Mm-hmm. Snoop around a little bit. And then she gets an engagement. You know, Michonne engages with Zia and goes a little hand-to-hand with sword versus pipe. But this is, you know, this is a very injured, busted up Michonne. So she's not at her full game, and I understand that much. But this is also the point where Mrs. Rosita finally does intercept Leo after coming across a fucking RPG.
Yep.
And here's our moment.
You loved it.
Where she, wait, I, dude, it is, it's one of those comic book as shit moments that I'm like, yeah, I'm there for this. I'm down. Fuck it. Is it ridiculous? Yes, but I fucking love it. It's so spectacularly ridiculous.
I could imagine how badass it would look in a comic frame, for sure.
Oh, for sure. I mean, just the fact that him say, oh, come on now, you're not really going to, and then boom. So good. Because it's you kind of do think it's going to be a bluff for a second, that she's like, no, you're going to back off, because, you know, just maybe start to push him back toward the truck or whatever, try to call the other girl off. But no, she just actually fucking blows him up with a rocket. Like, it's just so spectacular. I love it. But anyways, this Zia then makes a run for the truck, you know, runs away from Michonne and hops in it because, you know, mission priority here for her, that she is going to run this truck back to the sanctuary, pull off the walkers to essentially free Negan and everybody else at the sanctuary.
Yep. I was thinking in a comic frame would be cool because they'd show her shoot the guy and he'd blow up and they'd cut back to her and her hair would be like flipping around from like the impact, you know? Like her hair would be like flapping from the blowback. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. RPGs endorse, whatever. Sorry, it's fun. It's zombie killing. It's a good time.
It's a good, silly fucking time.
Yay. It's silly. It's a good time. Zia.
Honestly, what I think is a lot sillier than that is the timing of Daryl and Tara's truck rolling out.
Totally accidental, wasn't it?
I think so.
Well,
I
no, not accidental. So. Like, was he following them? I don't think he was. It's just complete and utter dumb luck.
Right. Dumb luck. And I think he probably eventually was, you know, heard the same thing they were hearing or heard the engagement.
He heard the RPG. In there.
Probably, yeah. But the fact that they were, you know, just rolling by on their own side quest adventure and happened to hear them having theirs, let's roll in and check in on what this is and be there perfect time to hit the... Yeah, like that to me is more silly than blowing up a guy with an RPG,
mm-hmm.
I would say.
Which, by the way, if they have an RPG launcher, if they have more fucking things for them, they can use that again.
For sure. Yeah. But they do bring up the point that, hey, this is a cache. Like, this is a hidden Savior's weapon cache that we did not know about.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think it's
that we stumbled upon on our show, our drive.
We just fucking bumbled, just Mr. Magooed our way into and fucking thwarted their plot.
Right.
But yeah, I do think it's implied that we're going to, you know, bring people over here and tear this place up, get everything out.
Yeah, for sure. But, Daryl like T-bones that truck, smashes into it, and then he hops out and opens up on them in the cab. Oh, yeah. I was like, whoa.
Dude, that was pretty good.
Does he even know who they are? It'd be funny if Michonne's like, no way, that's our friend.
Oh, no, wait, that was actually fucking Rosita taking it. Oh, God.
He
didn't even look.
How did he know she was he says that's a savior, and they're like, yes. But he said it, obviously he thought it was enough to murder them.
Yep.
And that's when I thought maybe it was the speaker truck because he knew it from Hilltop. Was he there for that?
No, I don't think so.
Well, anyway, he had an inkling they were bad guys.
Yeah, that's it.
So he T-boned your truck and then killed the driver.
And I do think, you know, we talked about this a little bit. There's a little bit of like radio chatter on previous episodes of the Saviors talking about, and even Negan talks about like, oh, well, the Brownings were at the cache, you know, yep. And like they talk about a weapons cache.
For sure.
Where they had a lot of stuff stored up. And I think this is it. This is that place. So maybe Rick and company kind of had an inkling of where something like this was, kind of knew general vicinity, and maybe that's where Daryl was going to go first. I'm stretching the fuck out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Overall, pretty silly that they were there this time.
It is what it is. Whatever.
It is what it is.
But we got a lot more work to do, Daryl says.
In his war.
So at dusk, they go overlook to an overlook there, and they check out the sanctuary. They look through it with their rifle scope. And what do you need us for? And that's when he says, to end this thing. So they're going to go on this fucking, like, this mission, the four of them, to end this thing outside of Rick.
That's it. They think they need to usurp Rick's judgment in this moment.
Nobody says, what about Rick?
They sure fucking don't, man.
Maybe next week, because it kind of ends there. Maybe Rosita will be like, but wait a second. What about my white boyfriend? Doesn't he run this show?
What about?
That's why I got leader? With him. I got with the fucking head white guy because he runs this shit.
I thought.
Maybe I took the wrong white. Maybe I'm with the wrong white boy. It's possible.
Pick a different one out.
Yeah. Pick a different one out. Tara and Daryl.
Tara and Daryl. Not much to say here. Like, boy, not much going on there.
What are they doing with Tara?
What is the show doing with Tara? Mm-hmm. You mean?
She's going to kill Dwight.
That's what she wants.
And then Daryl's like, maybe we can do it together like Mickey and Mallory Knox.
I'll hold him down. You stab him. Whatever. I don't know. Yeah. No, they are each on their, you know, that's what I said. Like, I buy their motivation more so than I buy, like,
this is a murder mission. Like, we don't have to wait so long, he says. So... Yeah.
That's, yeah. I think what Daryl wants at this point is to end the war, like completely smash it, kill all the fucking saviors, and hopefully kill Dwight if he gets the chance. And Tara is very much, I want to kill Dwight. Like, yes, I hate the saviors, I want to end the war, but she is like, I want to be the person who killed the guy who killed my girlfriend. Like, she's kind of on this like personal vengeance thing.
What do you think about that?
I mean, I get it. I'm like, yeah, I see them being, I buy them being the itchy trigger fingers. Fuck Rick. Let's just go do it anyways. Like, I see these two doing that. I don't like how kind of everyone's doing it. That to me dilutes the possible force behind their storyline here, you know, of like, I can accept, you know, I would even like seeing Rick come back, you know, however they resolve the trash people situation. He gets back and he's like, wait, where the fuck's Daryl and Tara? Like, they weren't supposed to leave. And, you know, other people are still there being like, yeah, we don't know. They went off. We don't know where they are. Like, that has a little more force to it if they're the only ones going rogue. And I don't mind them going rogue. I think it makes sense for them each personally. Like we talked about last week with Daryl being the one who's fucking tortured the most by the saviors and has a real hate boner for him right now. That I get. But if you're going to ask as far as, like, what's the story's, I mean, the show's, like, long game as far as Tara as a character? I don't really know.
I don't know. I just meant as of recently. I'm really trying to bring myself to say, yes, these people would all go off on their own. Like, Rick's giving this big speech about having a plan. Who the fuck's he talking to? Clearly none of the people that we think would be part of this plan, because they all took off.
Just all the, you know, all the dumb red shirts from Hilltop and Kingdom.
I guess.
You know, the fodder. You know, just the dumb fodder peasants we trick into warfare.
Where? Yeah, outside of Carl, who's back at the sanctuary? Sanctuary.
I mean, Alexandria.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Who's there?
Tobin.
Great.
Tobin.
Great.
Petting my rabbit.
Great.
Healing up from them mean bite bullets.
No, whatever. It is what it is, right? It's fun. Hey. Tara and Daryl going on a killing spree.
Daryl headed out for revenge.
Yeah.
Yavol.
Wanna
so they're off.
Want to talk about Carl and Sadiq?
Carl and Sadiq. You know, I got to say, of Carl storylines in episodes, this is not that bad.
I like this more than most of the things I watched this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Far more interesting than Rosita and Michonne, the motivation being, I want to go look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 2 hours drive, may get killed to look at it. Fucking whatever. But no, I like Carl, for one, making a actual authentic choice. Like, it is not a reaction to his dad's treatment of this guy. It's not, I don't know, it's not him thinking that there's something on the line for their group because they got to save this guy who's going to help them or something. It's just that he's made a choice that it's the right thing to do to go help this guy.
Mm-hmm. That's I like it.
And like, it's very simple. It's very straightforward. It's just a moral choice he makes. And I like that about him. You know, as much as we've given him plenty of shit over the years, I like that he, you know, it was a big debate early on, back all the way back in like season two. And, you know, Herschel used to fucking ride Rick's ass about it, of like, you got to get in there and be a father to this kid or he's going to go real south. Like, he's shooting people willy-nilly just because he thinks he can just shoot people now for no fucking reason, kill anybody. You got to get in there. This kid's got to develop a moral compass or, you know, what the hell happens to a person who has only grown up in this world? He doesn't even remember pre-zombie apocalypse. Like, it's a dangerous, like, moral situation. Yeah. And I like seeing Carl still developing his own, you know, sense of ethics. Like, I think that's cool.
Yeah, I like this stuff. He gives Sadiq the water and he drinks it down like a desert drinks the rain, baby.
Boy, howdy. Sucks it down.
Right.
And I, what are your impressions of Sadiq? Like, I don't, for one, I actually take the show at its word here as far as, like, I don't think this is a guy who's going to, like, I was actually a snake in the grass, like, two episodes later.
I think he is handsome and kind. And I like the cut of his jib almost immediately.
Yeah.
I like him almost immediately. Yeah. He just seems like a nice fellow. He's very endearing and he seems real to me. And I'm kind of interested in him.
Interesting. I'm interested to hear you say that. And I think that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's something, he's a break from everything else. Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, I do agree with that. He is a break the cynicism of everybody else. The, like, I'm hard-edged because I've been living in the apocalypse. Like, he acts like a person would. Like, he's, you know, he's being cautious with this kid. He doesn't know where this kid's from or what's going on. But he's not, like, over the top, like, you know, cynical, like, you stay the fuck away from me, kid. What do you want? Like, he's not being ridiculous. He's being, like, a hungry, lonely person in the apocalypse would act, I feel like.
I want Father G and Sadiq to go on an adventure together.
I could see that.
Anyway.
I could see that.
Carl utters the magical incantation that we've made fun of before. The three questions that apparently are going to tell you everything you need to know about survivors.
Everything. And I do actually like that Carl acknowledged how many walkers would be killed. I know it's hard to keep track. Like, this is kind of a bullshit question, I know.
I like that too.
I was like, at least he acknowledged that. And I like that this dude kind of was like, well, I've kept a general count. Like, it doesn't mean nothing to him.
Well, it means everything to him. It
means a lot, yeah.
It means a lot to him because each person he kills, in his opinion, he's releasing their immortal soul. Like, because there is a clear religious motivation here.
Right. And that is something I appreciated too about not letting – this is another moment of like acknowledging – that the way the world is right now is because of the dead coming back to life and killing people. And how, like, that's a shocking, terrible thing. And how do you even reconcile, if you're a religious person, how do you think about heaven and hell at this point? What does death mean? And, like, that's some crazy shit that, like, in the crazy hecticness of just trying to survive, you could easily forget about. But I like seeing a religious person in this context of, like, they were people. Like, I'm trying to respect them as for what they once were. You know, the whole idea of releasing their soul, I thought was honestly believable take of somebody's perspective on the zombies. He's not hesitant about killing them like, you know, Herschel was or something. He still fights them and kills them and knows he needs to, but thinks that it has some importance to it.
Now, I couldn't... Do you know what possible religion his mom and him probably followed?
I don't.
I was guessing Hinduism, but I don't really know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what, like, burial rites that might entail or, like, what they might think about, you know, bodies maintaining. I mean, I know that, like, different religions have different ideas about, like, if you don't properly... I don't know, handle a body, you know, bury it properly. And it's even like an old Viking thing. You know, that's like the whole Viking funeral. Like, if you don't do that, they don't go to heaven. They like, that's the maintaining their body or, you know, putting it to its rights is how their soul is free. And so I think that is definitely what it harkens back to.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right. Yeah, so that's kind of cool. But he killed one person. Why? The dead tried to kill him, but they didn't. So mercy, right? Mercy kill. Carl asks about the Walker traps, how he killed so many. It's only part of it. My mom hoped that killing them would free their souls. I mean, it could be anything. I'm saying Hinduism because I'm being racist. She could be a fucking Christian. I don't know. I don't know what they are.
I don't know.
But Sadiq talks of honoring his parents. And that's when Carl's like, if I was honoring my parents, I wouldn't be bringing you back to my camp.
That's it. And that's cool. And it's a definite like highlight of him growing up a little bit and like, sure. and not in the lame TV bullshit way of like, I have to go against my dad as part of growing up and respecting my dad. Like, you will disagree and you will have to, you know, forge your own way.
Yes. Carl still sucks at fighting though, huh?
Not great.
Carl still sucks at fighting. Dude, get better at fighting.
Dude, he had a pistol. And I get the whole, you don't want to attract more walkers with the sound. You don't want to waste your ammo.
Bibbidi, he's bobbidi. Getting big, though, man. Like, come on, dude.
Getting big.
You know why? This kid grew up on the craft services food truck, you know? He grew up on fucking TV sets.
Well, and also, fucking Carl should have realized, hey, man, you just came to help this guy. You gave him a bottle of water and he drank it like it was the last bottle of water on earth. And he had like, you gave him a sandwich. But other than that, this dude's been living off of what? Like wild strawberries and fucking, I don't know, cans of Spam he found last week.
Exactly. It's
like rough. This dude ain't strong enough to fight. You gotta help this guy out.
Well, they managed to fend him off with his little pistol. And I'm responsible, you know, that's how it works, Carl tells him. Sadiq's like, look, I don't want trouble, man. Sometimes kids have to find their own way to show their parents the way. I like that quote.
It's cute. I'm with it.
So yeah, man, Carl didn't annoy me. He didn't piss me off other than sucking at fighting.
Yeah, he needs it. And also, I mean, I get the whole, everybody has a knife on them at this point, and it was just like usually walk up and stick a zombie in the forehead, you know, stiff arm them with one and then stab them with the other. It's kind of a standard operating procedure at this point, which makes sense. But I also feel like everybody should have a length weapon, you know, a machete, a fucking something to put yourself a little further than just hands reach. I feel like that should be.
Royal in the chat says she thinks he said Muslim.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
So maybe so.
But so let's talk Kingdom and Carol and Zeke and all that jazz.
The Kingdom of Carol.
So she knocks on Zeke's door. He doesn't answer. Jerry was fired, but stayed anyway, right?
Yeah, I like that. That's another thing I like about Jerry being so committed and knowing that even though, like, obviously King Zeke is not up to the task of being fucking a public figure right now, that him standing out front of the building, being, you know, quote unquote, like royal guard or whatever you want to call him, that in this moment is the public image of the king. Like, him standing there maintains that. Like, that's kind of important as far as, like, if people know the king is staying in there, not coming out, not doing great, it's a pretty bad situation we all just went through, lost a ton of people, it still helps to know that you look out there and you see Jerry maintaining guard. Like, okay, well, the king is still in there. Jerry's still protecting him. Things are still kind of normal. Like, it's cool of him that he, like, maintains that posture.
Yep, I gotcha.
It's cool.
Henry is there. I forgot who he was. Did you remember him?
I did not remember his name, but I remembered the younger brother.
He looks a little older already, huh?
He does.
That must be why it threw me off. But yeah, he's the kid, the brother died. So he's going to fight. Carol says no. Later, Henry fights some walkers poorly. Carol has to bail him out. He need fighters, so I'm fighting. Henry guesses that Carol was headed back to Sanctuary, so he wants revenge because everybody wants revenge. Everyone's going.
Everybody wants their revenge.
There was a fucking celestial shift in the sky, and there's this weird astrological event where everyone's must go to Sanctuary.
Must go.
You look at the newspaper, everyone's astrological sign that day says go to Sanctuary. That's weird, but
you're feeling shaky lately, but you should believe in yourself and know that success is on your way. Also, you should go to the Sanctuary and kill Negan.
Your friends, Capricorn.
Your friends. Here's some shit that literally anyone would want to read about themselves. Yes. Or their fucking life.
Yes.
Next, Sagittarius. Some shit you'd like to read about yourself and your life. You feel down on yourself sometimes, and other times you feel good.
Today, your friends might need your advice, but they might also not need it. It's tough to say.
The money will come fickle. If you keep working at it. Don't worry, but maybe you should. Fucking bullshit.
Today, it's important that you believe in yourself and make that leap you've been thinking about making, but maybe not.
But maybe you should be careful. Also, buy some crystals or some shit.
It's silly. Anyway. How arrogant are humans?
Well, boy, that was a right turn.
It's not a right turn. Think about this. I'm shitting on astrology, and I'm probably going to get emails about it. But just everything, like Friday the 13th, like just stuff like that. We think that in the great cosmos, the way our fucking planet rotates around the sun against the millions of stars, that particular time in the fucking cosmos matters.
For us, like, naked monkeys on Earth.
Somehow, it's just dumb.
For us.
It's goofy.
Silly. Anyway. Bunch of big old sillies.
I don't know. But anyway, I could see if something celestial happened where there was planetary energy from something that literally affected people's moods or, you know, their fucking neurotic firing. Their neural pathways.
Pisces, lately friendships have been mattering to you a lot more than normal. You should lean on those friends in hard times. Also, you should go to the Sanctuary on a death quest.
You're reading it out of the fucking thing right now. I know you are.
I am. Right. It's crazy. They all got the same thing.
But anyway.
The Sanctuary.
Enough about astrology and cosmos and black holes. Let's talk about The Walking Dead. But
so for once, Carol doesn't threaten to murder a child and gives him a gun. There's that.
At least he watched her train. So here, have a gun.
Would be so good if it just went off and like hit her in the fucking heel. She's like, fuck.
This is the Hollywood left.
Oh, shit.
This is the Hollywood left conspiracies. I don't know what I'm talking about. But Carol goes to see Zeke, who, you know, like I said, is kind of looking like Othello before he takes his own life. I can't be what they need. Leave me alone. She starts to walk away and stops. Why did you visit me? She asks. It was my duty to make sure you're okay. I was okay. Why did you really? Carol insists. You made me feel real, not a fiction, real. Carol is surprisingly emotional about this. You are real to me, to the kingdom. Those people need their king to lead them, Carol offers. And then that's when he's like, well, you could lead them. And then she has this pretty good piece of dialogue. She says, it has to be you. You inspire them to build this place, to believe in something. You have to help them grieve, to move on, to end this. You owe them that. Henry needs you. These people need King Ezekiel. If you can't be king, then play the part. I have to act every day. It used to bother me, but this is who I am, and I am still standing. I'm still standing. We have to act like everything is normal until it is.
Dude, I love it. I love it. I love Melissa McBride, and this is her getting to flex those acting chops for again.
She's awesome. Yeah, she's great.
She's fucking so good, man.
He's good too.
It makes me want.
He's really good too.
Oh yeah, they're both equally good in this, and I love him.
He has range, man. Like we're seeing a difference in we've seen the jovial, positive, disgustingly positive attitude. And now we're seeing him really down in the dumps. it's funny that this is a man of extremes. That's one thing we've seen about Zeke. There's no middle ground. He's either on top of the world or like, I can't, I just can't. Like, even after all this, his response is, I can't.
Right. Right. Well, and I love what he's saying here, where he's like, you know, I played a part. I played a part. I was only king because I said I was king. And I like how she's basically trying to get him to realize, like, yeah, and that's enough. Like, that's enough. You took the reins. You stepped up and put on a big character and said you're a king. But that still got actual tangible things done. And it got people moving. It got people working towards a goal. And I'm like, also at the end of the day, I'm like, what king in history wasn't king because they said they were? Like, at some point in time, you know, a guy helped lead a battle and won it for a bunch of people, and they said he should lead us, and they made him king, and then his kid became king just because he was that guy's kid, and that guy's kid became king just because he was that guy's kid. And eventually it's like, why is this guy king? Like, he's just the son of somebody else. Like, we're just all acknowledging and agreeing that this guy should be the leader.
God.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I forgot.
It's God, bro.
I forgot. Cancer, you're feeling really up and down lately. You should really keep an eye on your emotions and check back in with family and friends. Also, you should go to the fucking sanctuary. And you're king because I said so, and I'm God writing these fucking tabloids.
I'm not joking. God.
No, you're right. I mean, that's the old ancient reason.
Right. Well, is there modern kings?
Well, yeah. There still are bullshit ass modern kings. Like, oh, then we should give them money because I guess, I don't know. Fuck it.
But
I wear really hats.
Let me ask you this. If I was to say to you this, let me see if you think you've heard this before. This is not a trick.
Okay.
It has to be you, Rick. You inspired them to make this place, to believe in something, Rick. You have to help them move on. You owe them that. They need you. Those people need you, Rick. If you can't be their leader, then play the part.
Wait, are you asking if that's actual straight up dialogue from earlier to Rick?
I'm just saying, think about it.
Yeah.
Might be retreading a couple old things. A little bit. A little bit. Might be running out of something. A little bit. Just saying.
Hey, let's pull up that script from, 20 episodes back, changing names a little bit, call today, go get some sushi. How about that, everybody? Sound good?
Let's go back a few seasons to where Rick didn't want to be the leader. Rearrange a couple fucking pronouns, couple verbs.
You
want to
get the one from where he was farmer, Rick? Nah, not that far back.
And then let's fucking back our Brinks truck up to our mansions and dump it out. Because it don't matter. We're still rich as fuck. I'm just being salty. But I
no shit.
No shit. Listen, I hate to be the guy that rips the curtain open and shows you Oz. I hate to do that to you, but sometimes you need it.
I want the fucking blue pill. I want it. I want to taste the steak in my mouth.
Red pill blues, man. Jesus. Red pill blues. But the chat was reminding me that the old Bootsy in the chat saying he quoted the Quran to Carl in episode one. So there you go.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah, cool.
So now we know.
But no, it's good. It's good acting between these two. And I will say this, I'm shocked that Zeke was just like, I can't. Like, that didn't, he's just down in the dumps.
Yeah, he's down, man. Because, I mean, I think he's still taking super, super personally. He thinks he just marched those people to their death, just straight up. Like, just fed them into the, you know, the inferno. Like, just straight up killed them all. And he's kind of lost sight of the fact that, like, they only followed you because they believed in the same cause you believed in, wanted to protect where they're from. Like, he's lost sight of all that and just has been like, oh, fuck, I'm the guy. I was never a real king. I was putting on a silly voice, and I had a tiger, so they thought I was cool, and I killed all these people. Oh, shit. Like, he's really hung up on that, which, of course, like, you can't blame him. But I just like Carol's approach of being like, that same thing you're feeling guilt over is the same thing you can, you know, bring the place back around again. Like they look to you. Like that's the power you have. And she's saying, you play this part is what you give to them. That's what you can do that nobody else here can be the figurehead, can be the rallying cry. And I think I like her not pressing him too hard on when he's like, I can't, like she just kind of leaves him. Like
he needs
she
time.
Knows that he just needs time to fucking grieve and feel it.
But they definitely not too much. They definitely need him, you know? I mean,
yeah.
They definitely need him, but it's good. You know, I like seeing this. I like seeing he's a man of extremes. I think that's kind of an interesting insight into him. I like that.
Well, he's an actor. He does. He's like
acting.
Played in theater. A man of up and down emotions.
Yeah. But yeah, man, it's cool. I like that. It's an interesting dynamic. I don't know. I like it. I like seeing him have to confront what he has going on. And you know, he has to be reminded of the very advice that he gave to her, which is fake it till you make it, baby.
That's it.
You have to do it again.
Gotta do it again.
And that's it, man. That's the end. That's the end of the ep.
Yep. Rick is in a hot box. Rick's Zeke is depressed. Carl got him a new friend.
And everyone's running around.
Mm-hmm. Everybody has followed their horoscope and is headed straight to the sanctuary.
Yeah, they're all fucking running around.
A bunch of jabronis.
So, that's it. It's over.
That is it.
Would you like to read some listener comments before we offer up any final thoughts? I don't know if you have any, but...
Oh, I did have one. I just got to make sure I got it pulled up, which I don't.
All right, I'm going to read Karen Lomas. I'm not giving up on opportunity to comment until the very last podcast. So here I go. Opening scene is Jadis, naked Y, sculpting a tiger. Is this a coincidence, or did her group see what happened to Shiva in the kingdom? If not, then did they somehow get the news from the saviors? Are they still working with Negan? After sleeping on it, I still have to ask Rick, what the fuck? Why on earth would you go there alone after she turned on you and grazed you? Then argue over whether you were shot or grazed, like it makes a difference. What did you want? Some alone time, question mark? Is Andrew Lincoln's contract up for negotiation? Did they keep Rick in the box until Andrew signs off on the dotted line? Help me to understand this, please. I say screw them. Kill the saviors, then these dirty bastards. Daryl spent time naked in a room. Now it's your turn while Jadis is walking around in your smelly boots. You don't normally see a lot of discussion between Tara and Daryl. I did like the discussion they had about killing Dwight after the war is over. Lastly, Carol knows exactly what to say to Ezekiel. She and Ezekiel are so much more alike. She's incredible. Please don't end up in the friend zone. Carol, if you were to die tomorrow, you wouldn't want your last conquest to be Tobin. Oof.
Ooh, fucking hey. Good point, Karen. Come on. Get with a real man.
Yeah, I bet he pounds, though. I bet Tobin pounds.
That's true. He didn't know anything. Don't know any other way to be. I'm just a big old jackhammer.
Well.
All right. I have one from Miss Susan A. York. She said, Melissa McBride did some marvelous acting. She and Carrie Payton are doing well together with the acting chops. Liked the mail carrier thing. I looked in our microwave today just to see if Rick sent us a distress letter. During the trash people parts, I really was over their story and talk. Whose idea was it to let that douchebag Brian talk? And the angry woman sidekick got a line. I can't find humor in any of it. She says no, and they get that flirty, angry thing going. Stupid as fuck. Is he counting on Daryl to rescue him? My prediction, Daryl is fucking up things elsewhere. Rick is on his own, naked as the idiotic Jadis. I hate that storyline. It makes no sense. Who gave a blowjob to Gimple to get this approved? Did anyone have a problem? Jadis. Ouch. Well, fair. Did anyone have a problem with Daryl just showing up in a dump truck as the savior was driving away with the speakers? I thought that it was awful. Maggie is getting tougher. I was wondering while watching what Glenn would be saying about prisoners. Jesus is annoying about it, but it seems Glenn might be arguing something similar. I thought the rough treatment of Gregory was too rough, but the treatment of Jared was not rough enough. And then she asked Karen Lomas, what did I miss? Because that's the eagle eye. Gotta ask her.
There you go.
There you go.
Anyone else?
Thank you for the comments, guys. I think I'm good. I think I'm good.
Well, I think I'm good, too. What's the any closing thoughts here?
How are you liking the season
so far?
I'm actually, man, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying this. Like I said, the last two episodes were by far the highlights for me. And shaky on the fucking details, like we've already talked on and on about with like wish some of the gunfire were a little better, wish some of the actual tactics that we were seeing were better. But the main thrust of what they're doing, I think, is still pretty fucking fun. Fun to watch.
Which is?
Going to war with the saviors, pushing onto all of their installations, bringing war to them, and fucking losing shit because of it. Heavy losses. I think it's interesting to see them actually pushing on straight up war. The thing I don't like at this point is still just not knowing what the fuck is going on with Rick's whole plan here, and them kind of being all coy about it and hiding it. Okay. I don't, like I said, my only worry at this point is that we're gonna. No, I don't think that this midseason is gonna stop before, you know, Rick gets out of the box. I don't think they would do that. But I do worry that we're still not going to quite know why he is doing what he's doing until after the midseason, which I would find kind of annoying. I want to know Rick's plan. I want to see that unfold and then the second half of the war and however that plays out in the next half of the season. But I want basically the resolve of Rick's master plan, whatever that may be, to be seen beforehand. I'm a little worried about what they're fucking doing with that. But a lot of it, man, a lot of the thrust of the campaign and the multiple fronts of the warfare, I've been enjoying, man.
There you go. Cool, man. Awesome. Yeah, it's not my favorite season. It's, it's a good show about zombies.
It's not my favorite season. Good night, folks. I don't
know what to say.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Here's what I'm really looking forward to, guys.
Surfing this wave of enthusiasm. Fucking got my GoPro on the tip of my board, trying to keep up with Dean's enthusiasm.
You can't, holy man. Shit. I'll fucking hang 10 on you. No, but I am looking forward to watching this show passively.
I know what you mean.
Like all the other fucking nitwits that still like it. Just kidding. I'm teasing. Relax. You know I love you, you fucking chuckleheads.
Yeah. I look forward to not having Gimple and all of the writing staff sitting on my back while I do push-ups. Fucking... keeping their shit afloat.
You are adorable. I'm starting to get concerned that you're either trying to keep whatever listeners still love the show happy with your enthusiasm. So you're either being politically, I can't tell if you're making political decisions about the show and judging it that way, or if you're just trying to bring some sort of levity and balance to my bullshit. But I feel like you're not being totally honest.
Hey, like I've said, man, I feel like you're not being totally honest.
Well, that's okay.
Here's the thing. I enjoy all of what I enjoy. And when it comes to the shit, I'm like, it's one of those moments where I hang my head during the episode. I'm like, I'm going to be the guy that has to like fucking fill the gap and be like, well, let me try to make sense of this bullshit at times.
I gotcha.
Whatever.
I like doing that bullshit too. Like with shows I love, I'm always trying to offer the benefit of the doubt and try to say, here's why this might be occurring. Maybe this occurred off screen, and kind of writing my own shit in my head to make it make sense. You know, that's one of the things in, you know, with only two episodes left, that's crazy. We're only going to cover two more.
Whoa.
Right? Time for after, and then how it's got to be, and then it's off. That's the midseason.
That's it.
Two more left, dude. But I want to make sure I say this before. It's very important that I point out, you know, I listen to the podcasts I release for my own personal reasons, for coaching, for picking up on things, for realizing and trying to make the show better. I do that. And when I see, you know, one of the things I was thinking about when we were covering the show is, when I see a trend just repeatedly continue for so long, I'm like, nah, this has to change one way or the other. Either we're getting out or whatever. So again, we've already talked about why we made all the decisions we did to get out of the show, but I want to
stakes and move our freak show to another town.
I want to, you know, there's the reason I was busting your balls a little, saying that, you know, sometimes I don't know if you're being totally honest, is because somebody like Karen Lomas, who is one of our listeners, and, you know, I know Karen outside of LSG Media, and she is a real true, like, in the wool Walking Dead fan. Like, she goes to the things, she meets the people, she loves the show, she continues to watch it, and she's a huge fan. And I think that's awesome. Like, it's cool that she loves it for what it is, and she watches old episodes. She knows way more about the show than either one of us. It's cool. Like, it's cool that people can still enjoy the show like that. And I just don't want to be the guy that continuously shows up every week to, like, crap on it. Right?
I totally
agree. And not that it even matters. Like, Karen's going to love the show no matter what the fuck I say, which is awesome. And that's one of the things I really respect about Karen as a listener and Karen as a somebody who watches the show. And I just think that's really cool. And I was just thinking about that as we were talking here. It's cool that those people exist and they're going to continue to love their show and they don't need us to fucking love the show. Anyway, shout out to Karen. Thanks for listening. I know she was in the live chat. She went to bed, but. So that's all, man.
Yeah. There we have it.
I know. I gotta start saying goodbye. We got two eps left to do it.
Aww.
LibertyStreetGeek.net, bitch. Got plenty of shows.
Plenty of shows.
We're gonna get out of here. We'll see you guys next week. Bye bye. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. If you like what you heard, remember to share the episode with friends. Get us out there. Get our name out there. Help us out. And you know what? Check out LibertyStreetGeek.net. We got all kinds of podcasts over there. Plenty to listen to. Science fiction, film, Game of Thrones, True Detective, and more. All right. We'll see you next time.